Paul Reti is from Ngāpui and was awarded a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit earlier this year for his services to jiu-jitsu in a career that spanned over 5 decades. 8 martial arts clubs trace their teaching back to him. He's trained more than 35 black belts across this country, and he established the Fuji-ryu Goshinden, New Zealand, in 1972. He's regarded as one of the first generations of Fuji-ryu members to be graded black belt in this country and has led the organisation for more than 20 years. Actually began judo in 1965 at the International Judo College in Christchurch. Since then, martial arts have really been his life, and it's a great privilege, Paul, to have you join us on Paki Waha to celebrate your mahi and to talk about martial arts. As a moderator for behaviour, I hope you're a peaceful man, but who can back yourself if things get testy. Thanks for joining us on the show. Kia ora tēnei, Paul. Kia ora.
Thank you very much.
It's good to talk to you. Good morning to you, Paul. Where did you grow up, Paul?
In Huntly.
And we're looking back in time. You're no spring chicken there, brother, but you picked up judo in 65 in Christchurch. How did you come to be there, and what was it about judo and then jiu-jitsu that appealed and continues to appeal to you, Paul?
Yeah, it started when I went to Christchurch to learn how to be a tradesman. So they had a lot of people from all over New Zealand go to Christchurch and in a trade training scheme. And rather than play rugby or football, I went into doing martial arts because I wasn't very big. So that's how it started for me. And one day I was coming home from night class at the Polytech and decided to go a different way home. And up Manchester Street, and I hear this funny noise above me. I was under the veranda of the shops, of course, and they were all making a funny sounds like oi 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 like this. So they were actually kiaing, but I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was just a funny sound. So I went across the road and looked up, and saw these guys fighting in white pajamas. I thought, they look like they're having a bash at each other. So I thought I'd go across the road and check it out. So after that, I read on the door, unarmed combat, jiu-jitsu, aikido, judo. And I thought, judo, that's a killer art. I heard of that. So I thought I'd go up and have a look. And that's how it all started. And I went to the club, and a guy introduced himself to me. His name was Frank Best. He was a judo coach, and that's how it started for me. And he asked me to come on the mat. So I thought, well, I might as well have a go at this. And he threw me around and showed me how to break fall, threw me around, and I thought, I didn't like this guy very much. And so I thought I'd come back and have another bash at him, and that's how it all started. And I never got to throw him, actually, but I got to learn a heck of a lot of them. And that's my my introduction to martial arts. And then from then on, I went on to doing jiu-jitsu, and I did both.
And so, you know, for those of you at home, such has been Paul's involvement over the years that last year he was inducted into the New Zealand Martial Arts Hall of Fame and received an Outstanding Service Award by the New Zealand Jiu-Jitsu Federation back in 2013. So it's been part of your life. Curiosity directs that I ask you, did you end up getting your trade certificate, Paul?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I finished my trade. And
which is what? What's your trade?
Interior decorating. Yes, same as Tom Eattie.
Interior decorating? With a black...
Pardon?
Interior decorating?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is that painting or is that deciding...
Yeah, painting, decorating, wallpapering, stuff like that.
Beautiful.
But after I served my time, in those days, you didn't get a hell of a lot of money, so I had to get a second job, and I went into the fishing industry and spent my lifetime doing that as well. I left the trade earlier on in life, and went into the fishing industry and stayed there for the rest of my natural life.
And to be honest, I mean, like you, I'm familiar with the term judo, although I'm not quite familiar with all the bells and whistles associated with that. Then there's jiu-jitsu, and there's karate, and there's kung fu. And, I don't know too much about jiu-jitsu. How do you describe the difference?
Well, jiu-jitsu is a combination of all the martial arts, of all the fighting arts, I should say. You know, you're doing karate, aikido, aikijujitsu, unarmed combat. You're doing most of the fighting arts. You're doing the judo. You get the groundwork, the hold downs, the arm bars, the strangles, the throwing. So, you know, it's all combined. All of that's combined with the wrist techniques, the wrist locks, the arm locks, the leg locks. So it's a combination of all of that. You have to break it all down to do it individually and then put it all together. And that's what you get. That's jiu-jitsu. It's the combination of all the fighting arts. You know, because you're doing wrestling, because you're doing groundwork. You're doing what they call naiwaza on the ground, which is judo. You know, it's all been separated or cut down. So, but a lot of us still practice the old art of, you know, combination altogether. But I see there's a lot of people who are doing a lot more jiu-jitsu now, because one art's just not enough these days.
Especially if you've got ambitions to be a UFC fighter, you would have probably climbed into that ring had it been available back in the 70s.
Well, it's funny because when I started seeing all the cage fighting and things like that on TV, and they advertise a lot of it, and in those days people had never heard of anything like that, but we were doing cage fighting and stuff like that, but we just didn't have the cage. It was just free fighting. There was just no rules. You get on the mat, you have a go, see how good you are, and you just full contact fighting. But there was just no cage. It was just us in the dojo just fighting each other and, you know, bloodying each other, really. And when I look at that, and I thought, after they called it cage fighting, they have a few rules though in cage fighting these days, but in jiu-jitsu, when we were fighting full combat fighting, there was no rules. If you got kicked in the groin, that you just had to get better at blocking, you know, and get better at, you know, covering up and using your guard to stop somebody from hitting you in the head. You know, you couldn't get away with that today now. Too many rules and safety regulations.
Yeah, you know, so. I understand, Paul. You said you weren't a very big guy when you first started up. I'm sort of intrigued, Paul, about the ethics of martial arts, because in combat sports, there is a respect for your opponent. We hear a lot of trash talking now in the build-up to big fights, boxing, etc. But in reality, when you've finished having a go at a guy, there is a mutual respect, or tends to be. So, first point, the confidence you derived from this skill, how did that change the way you operated in life and the way you walk with your shoulders back?
Well, when I first started, I thought to myself, you know, this will be good for me, because I didn't have a sport. And I used to do a little bit of gymnastics. I tried a few other way, you know, as you do in life, try a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of this and that. And I went to a few different clubs when I decided that, after I'd been, you know, been accepted into the club where I was. I had looked at a few other different things, and I thought, no, I'll stick with one and develop one sort of art. But I ended up doing multiple arts, really, because I had to do that to be good at what I am now. you know, because you just can't do one thing. It's, you have to have a combination of all the fighting skills to be able to survive these days, you know. But in saying that, when we used to what we call the blood and guts and have a good go at each other, when we got off the mat, that was it. We went and had a drink, or we, you know, we were a very social club. So we went out to dinner together and things like that. There was no animosity or, you know, oh, you know, so gee, that was a good hit. I have to remember to keep my guard up there, you know. So we'd talk about it after we'd finished, you know, after we'd finished the session on the mat. So it was like that. So we had a, yeah, very great mutual respect for each other, and we all became, you know, lifetime friends.
You've assisted many to develop the skills, both physically, mentally and emotionally, to be good at what they do as well. Talk with us about how you feel about being a kaiako here in this space, Paul.
Say that again.
About being a teacher in this space, assisting others to fulfil their potential.
Yeah, I quite enjoy it because it's not always about the fighting. It's about changing people's way of thinking, you know. But to do that, you've got to have the person there and show them. It's like if it's like what you do for a living, you know. You're a black belt of what you do at interviewing people. I'm just a white belt if I went into your job. Look at it that way. You know, so you've got all the skills. I come onto your area, and I'm just, I'll be thinking, yeah, I better not touch anything. I might do something wrong, you know.
I'm following what you're saying, but I still think I'm about a green belt. But anyway, that's Kate's point. Your peers recognise your longevity in this sport and your willingness to help others excel at it. So we take our hats off to you, Paul. Do you mind me asking how old you are and how long you'll be involved in martial arts going forward?
I'll be 73 this year, and I'd like to keep doing martial arts till the day I die, actually, because that's what keeps me going, is just helping people, teaching and doing all that sort of stuff, you know. I do as much as I can. I'm teaching at least 1 or 2 days a week now. I used to train 4 days a week. Since last year, I'm down to a couple of days a week. I spend a little bit more time with my grandchildren, but apart from that, I'm still active and still teaching and doing seminars and things like that, and helping out, you know, at the seminars and seeing the guys and just, you know, exchanging different techniques and, you know, just making them a lot better than they are. It's like there's not only one way to do something, you know. If you show me how to do how many techniques, you know, I'll probably show you about 6 or 7 other different versions of it, you know, or different ways to do things. It's like anything, there's not only one way to bake the cake.
Yeah, sure. You know? You're a ninth Dan black belt, which suggests, you know, a huge experience. You say that you're still working a couple of days a week. Whereabouts are you based now?
We're in Christchurch. We have 3 clubs running in Christchurch, 1 in Rolleston, 1 in Little River, and 1 in town. So, you know, I get to visit them, go around and visit the 3 clubs, and I'm teaching at one of them, and I just now, I just oversee and just go to the clubs and just watch them and see that they're doing everything right, and I'm there for them if they need my advice or, you know, or teaching. So it's, if you're going to teach somebody to shodan or to black belt, why go to the class and teach the class when you've already got somebody here who can teach the class? That way that person learns. Your student learns, who becomes this first, becomes a black belt. He gets to learn how to teach people, and you get to stand behind him and make sure that he's doing it right and that there's no problems. It's like the old saying, why have a dog and bark as well? You know, It's a terrible shame, I know, but
it's quite appropriate. Hey, what do they call you then? What do your students call you? I've heard the term sensei. You just use the term shodan.
Yeah, I've never liked it. I've never liked a lot of people call me Shihan. I've never liked the title. I'm just an inheritor. I'm a Soki, what they call a Soki, the inheritor. I've inherited the art from other people, so I want to pass that art on. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the next generation. I don't own any part of the art. I've just experienced the art, learned the art. I'm passing it on.
Very good to talk with you. I hear your mokus in the background. I hope you shared that with you. And I guess, you know, you've had a confidence all your life. Has anyone ever picked on you in the street? You've had to straighten them out?
Yeah, I've had people trying to knife me. I've had my wife and I was coming home one evening, and I had some guy jump out of the bush to try and have a go at us, so I had to restrain him. Apart from that, I always use my sound, my mouth, to get out of most things. I can pretty much talk people out of, you know, being aggressive towards me. The alternative is they haven't got a clue who I am. I can come out of the gate like a racehorse and you know, just plastering them. But that's not me. I'd rather talk my way out, and, you know, it's like if you're in a hotel or any venue and you spill somebody's beer, I'd prefer to go and buy them another one rather than throw them all over the room. You know, that's his alternative, you know. But apart from that, you know, I prefer to talk to the guy first and, you know, appeal to his better nature rather than me come out of the gate like a racehorse and, you know, end up booting him in the groin and, you know, elbow him in the head like you do on the MMA shows. Who wants that?
No one wants that. But I would like to acknowledge your longevity in this sport. It's not a sport we speak often about on Māori or through Māori media, but very pleased to know that it's been fulfilling for you as your chosen sport, and the expertise you've shown in that, and for your willingness to share what you've learnt with so many others there, Soki. And it's been a very interesting conversation. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us on Irirangi Wā Te Rangatira. Nei rā te mihi kia koe, Paul.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good talking
Thank you very much. I hope it's been helpful.
It's been neat. Thanks very much, Paul. All the best to you and your whānau, man. Ngā mihi.
Thank you.
Paul Reti.